Welcome to the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas podcast series. Please enjoy this message by our own senior pastor, Tavares Gardner.
And so since 1973, 150 people have been exonerated from death row. What? Since 1973. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to build the foundation and then you build the house. But touch a neighbor and say, you got to lay the foundation. Many of these individuals were convicted based on flawed evidence or testimony. Some were convicted based on forced confessions given under duress. Many were the victims of prosecutorial misconduct. On average, it took more than 11 years after these 153 people were sentenced to death before they were exonerated. 10 of the exonerations since 2013 occurred 30 or more years after the wrongful conviction. Touch your neighbor and say, that's crazy. Only 20 of the 150 exonerations have been due to DNA evidence. This means an overwhelming majority of the exonerations have been due to factors such as false informant testimony. Folks lying. At least 10 people have been executed despite serious doubts about their guilt. Several high-profile law enforcement officials, judges, and justices have recently been quoted as saying that there certainly have been innocent individuals who have been executed. 26 states have had at least one death row exoneration. That's more than half of all the states, and three of these states no longer have the death penalty on their books. The three states with the most exonerations, let me give you this, and we're moving on, are Florida with 25, Illinois with 20, and Texas with 12. Everybody say Texas with 12. Less than half as many executions were carried out in 2014 as were carried out in 1999 when executions peaked in 1999. Death sentences have declined by 75%. Everybody say 75%. There's a story also that I want to beg your indulgence just for a few moments, about a guy named Carlos de Luna, who was executed. He was put to death as an innocent man. He was at a bar. His friend decided he was going to go to a gas station and kill this woman cold-blooded, stabbed her with a knife. But because he had already had prior convictions and had been in and out of jail, they accused him of the crime. This man went to jail, could not get out, even died. He was executed, but he was wrongly in prison. And it wasn't until years later that his friend that actually killed, his name is Hernandez, his friend, actually confessed while he went to prison. Hernandez went to prison, but De Luna died. Hernandez confessed that he killed the girl years later. And they did not have sufficient evidence, but because he looked guilty and his prior record, he died an innocent death, even though he wasn't all that innocent. He had been in and out of jail, but he did not do this murder, but was accused of murder and died. What are you saying, Gardner? I'm glad you asked. Jesus was accused of some things that was really not sufficient evidence for him to be awarded the death penalty. What was Jesus' crime? I'm glad you asked. I got a few things that I wrote it down. You like to hear it, here it go. Number one, casting out demons. Touch a neighbor and say, what kind of crime is that? Oh, I know what it was, because the priest couldn't do it. And so when Jesus, with all power, I can't hear nobody, hallelujah, in his hand, hallelujah, was able to cast out devils. And guess what? Guess what? Even the demons recognized Jesus when he walked upon the earth. If that were not so, why did when he was in the church, that demon hollered out in the man that was in the church, Jesus, what you doing here? What we got to do with you? And Jesus said, shut up and come out. And then the people in the church that had been going to church all the years was like, what kind of teaching is this? And then the preacher got mad. Much like these preachers today. What was his other crime? Healing the sick. If you read Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3, Mark 4, Mark deals with the works of Jesus. He gets right down to the nitty gritty. He gets right down to the point. Mark 1, Jesus healing folks. Mark 2, Jesus healing folks. Mark 3, Jesus healing folks. And the folks, and the church folks, the religious folks were the one that was mad. Because he was actually showing them up, because they should have been doing what he. But you too busy enforcing laws. Much like church today. You have no power, so you put laws on people instead of them letting them get filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. All right. Giving sight to the blind. They had blind folk. Jesus healing the blind. Blind couldn't see. And now Jesus, all of a sudden, Jesus healed their eyes, and he just messed up their system and tradition. Breaking their Sabbath days and breaking tradition, disrupted their religion, hanging with sinners. And Jesus had nerve to say, he said, well, sick folks need doctors. The well folks don't need doctors. You who got it all together. So he was accused. And here's the biggest one. Everybody say, here's the big one. Claiming to be the Son of God, which made him equal to God. Read John chapter 5. And the folks were lit. They were livid, because you claiming to be what? You making yourself equal to God? You're saying my Father. And so they were real upset. But what really made them kill Jesus? Matthew 27 and 18. Let's read that real quickly so you don't think I'm making it up. It says, for Pilate knew that it was because of jealousy that the chief priests and elders had handed Jesus over to him. What was it? Jealousy. Falsely accusing Jesus. But here's the twisted plot about this. Even though he was falsely accused and was sentenced to die, it was still part of God's master plan. Now, that's kind of twisted. Anybody ever seen a twisted plot on TV? So this man was sentenced to die, but it was already recorded in glory before the foundations of the world. The Lamb was already slain. So Jesus was just reenacting what was already recorded in history. And so during Matthew 27, Jesus is going from the Pilate, didn't know what to do with him. Even his wife was like, hey, I was disturbed in my sleep last night. I think you better leave this man alone. He's innocent. And so guess what? Even after all of the accusations, Pilate said, you don't got nothing to say? Because if you're not guilty, you're going to make sure you open up your mouth. Has anybody in here ever been accused of anything? And you said, no, that devil is a lie. I ain't did that. Come on here, raise your hand. Some of y'all did it last night. Somebody just did it this morning. Somebody accused you of something. And you made sure, touch your neighbor, say, I made sure I defended my name and my character and my integrity. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Because let me just tell y'all, if anybody accuse me of something, I make sure you're going to hear me. You stole that money. You a lying wonder. The wallet was next to you. I don't care if it was next to you, next to me. I didn't take it. Well, who took it? I don't know. I did see who it was, and did have some money in there, but I didn't want it. There were several attempts. Now, all through Jesus' life, death had been trying to get him. Look in Matthew, early chapters of Matthew. Herod, I got to throw this in there. Herod got nervous when he heard that the king of the Jews had been born. But this ain't going to cost you nothing, but I got to throw it in there because it just came up. Now, Jesus had already been born by 2 or 3 years. But it wasn't until some outsiders came and mentioned his name, now you want to start looking for me. Sometimes you're more celebrated by people that in your own country, they weren't thinking about Jesus until the Easterners showed up. And they're right, read your Bibles. And then Herod, all Jerusalem got nervous because Herod was a lunatic. He was a crazy man. He killed his family. He killed his wife. I can't hear nobody. This man was a murderer. He was nervous. He was schizophrenic. I can't hear nobody. He killed anybody that he thought was coming against him. Study. This man was crazy. Then Herod, when he realized that he had been tricked by the Magi, was extremely angry, and he sent soldiers and put to death all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the area who were 2 years old or under, according to the date which he had learned from the Magi, Matthew 2 and 16. Then Jesus, here's another death attempt. The Jews answered him, "We're not going to stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because a mere man make yourself out to be God." So they tried to seize him, but every time they tried to kill him, Jesus said, "I lay down my own life. You can't kill me. I'll lay it down when I'm ready." So the Jews, and so in Leviticus chapter 16, there was something called a scapegoat. I was studying that and the scapegoat, well, they would actually lay the hands on the scapegoat, and they would transfer the sins of the nation onto the scapegoat. There were actually two goats. One goat was killed, and the other goat became the scapegoat, and they would lay their hands on the scapegoat, and they would transfer the sins of the nation on the scapegoat, and then they would release the scapegoat out into the wilderness to run free, and he was actually carrying away the sin. But touch your neighbor, said, "I'm so glad that I don't have to, back in the Old Testament, kill bulls and rams and hams and lambs and turkeys and doves and turtle doves and all that other kind of stuff." Touch your neighbor, said, "I'm so glad I don't have to do all of that stuff. I threw rams and then hams. I just threw that in there just to kind of, because some of y'all going to have some ham today." Somebody said, "Yes, Lord." I got any ham eating folks in here today? "I'm so glad that I don't have to do all these sacrifices, because when you came in the temple, when you came to present, you had to always shed blood. There was always bloodshed when you came to the temple. Always blood. It's a bloody mess. But I'm so glad that Jesus became my scapegoat, and that I was able to transfer all of my sins." I can't, all of them. Touch a neighbor, say all of them. The ones I haven't even committed yet. Touch a neighbor, say all of them were on the scapegoat. Y'all, I ain't heard nobody say nothing. Touch a neighbor, said, I'm so glad that the Bible said, "He that knew no sin," that's what the Bible said, "became sin that I might live free from sin." Touch a neighbor, say, "You can live free from sin." I feel Mr. Preach rising. Why y'all not saying nothing? Touch a neighbor and say, "You can live free from sin. You don't have to keep sinning." Hallelujah. Because Jesus takes away your sin. And when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, hallelujah, he breaks the power of sin. Why y'all not talking back to me? I feel it now. Come on here. Y'all were looking. Come on. Touch a neighbor and say, "He breaks the power of sin. And I don't have to live in sin. And I don't have to participate in sin." Hallelujah. Because Jesus died so I could live. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I feel the Baptist rising in me. Yes, God. Yes, God. I don't want to put my hand on my ear, and I don't want to say, didn't he die? And I don't want to tune up. I can't hear nobody and say, didn't he die? And I don't want to be like the Baptist preacher. I came out the Baptist church and say, ain't he all right? But I wish you would slap five with three people and tell them, I know he's all right. I ain't even got to ask, is he all right? Touch a neighbor, said, I know he's all right. How do I know he's all right? Because I tried him and I know him. And I found him to be. Y'all ain't saying nothing in here. I wish I had about 12 people that would jump up and say, he's all right. Because I tried him. I ain't even got to ask you, is he all right? Ain't he all right? I know that he's all right. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he said, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. I can't hear nobody say nothing. While you was in the club, while I was laying in somebody else's bed, touch a neighbor, said, Christ died for me. Hallelujah. And he took me out of somebody else's bed and laid me in his own bed. And now Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is my lover. I touch a neighbor, said, he's the best lover anybody can ever have. Why y'all not saying nothing? Touch a neighbor, said, Jesus is the only lover that you will ever need. There was a song back in the 90s that had been around the world, and I can't find my baby. But touch a neighbor, said, I found the right one, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. He's not a little lamb, hallelujah, but he was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Why y'all not talking back to me?
I want you to understand. I want you to understand that Jesus' death freed us. Everybody say, freed me. Everybody say, freed me. When you say, freed me, put your hand, pat your hand on your chest and say, freed me from the penalty of death. Hallelujah. He was falsely accused. Hallelujah. But he had to die. He had to take it. Isaiah 53 talks about it. Hallelujah. By his stripes. As a matter of fact, let's read that because that's one of my greatest scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures. Come on, Isaiah 53. So I don't want you to think that I'm making this up. And isn't it interesting that Jesus was prophesied about in the Old Testament and showed up in the New Testament? That's when you know prophecy is real. That's when you know that a real prophet has been in your midst. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus before he even showed up in the earth realm. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory right there. Just put your phone down and your book, your Bible down, and just say glory to his name. Glory to you. Can you give him about 60 seconds of glory and hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus. I told you, you ain't even got to be saved to praise him. Hallelujah. You can just say, anybody can say, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Gracias, Señor. Come on. I wish I had somebody in here. Come on. Somebody give him mansikai. Come on, somebody give him glory. Come on. Somebody give him glory. Somebody give him glory. Somebody give him glory. Somebody give him glory right there. Come on, somebody give him glory. Come on, then shikotobo rasaya. Come on, somebody give him glory. Somebody give him a thank you, Jesus. Somebody give him a Lord, I love you. Somebody give him a thank you, hallelujah. God, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you that you got the death penalty even though I was guilty. You became, hallelujah, you became the scapegoat, hallelujah, you became the sacrificial lamb. I thank you, God. I should have been dead, pushing up daisy. I should have been in the grave 6 feet under, but I thank God for Jesus that he redeemed me, he saved me, he filled me with the precious Holy Ghost. I thank you, Jesus. I wasn't fit to live, and I wasn't fit to die, but God, I thank you for sending Jesus to be the propitiation of my sins. And right there, I want to give you glory. Come on, I got notes, but I'm coming off the pages now because I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody ought to give the Lord a praise right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch a neighbor and say, I remember where I was. I remember what I used to be. I remember what I was doing. Hallelujah. But I thank God that I did not die in my sin. Hallelujah, I should have been dead. Touch at least three people and tell them I should have been dead. I was in some mess, honey. I was in some sin. And God should have let the enemy kill me while I was in my sin. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for delivering me. Clap your hands and open up your mouth and bless the high name of Jesus. It's because of Jesus that I have a right to the tree of life. It's because of Jesus that I'm standing here today. Travis Green said, you made a way. And I thank you for making a way. I thank you for making a way. Touch three people and tell them I thank the Lord for making a way. Somebody nervous standing next to you and telling I just can, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, my hands get to waving and tears begin to fall down my eyes because I remember I should have been on the cross, but he became the scapegoat. He died so I can live. Touch a neighbor, said he did it just for me. Tell the Lord, I thank you for letting Jesus die on the cross for my sins, and now I'm alive today because, hallelujah, because he lived, I can face tomorrow because he live. All fear is gone. Hallelujah. I know. Hallelujah. I know. What y'all standing up for? Y'all sit down. Sit down. Can I teach you something? And I got to go. About this death penalty. There was something that the Romans introduced to Jewish culture. It was called crucifixion. Everybody say crucifixion. Let me tell you how horrible crucifixion is. Crucifixion to Jesus is what the electric chair is to us now. They nailed him down. But with us, they strapped you down. Crucifixion sometimes begin with the scourging or flogging. And I know that I saw that little whip. This whip had like metal objects or glass in the whip. That every time, flesh would come out. 40 stripes. And every time they struck him, blood. Because you remember, what they're doing to Jesus now is what they did in the Old Testament. The lamb had to be slaughtered. They had to cut the lamb. They had to kill the lamb. Touch the neighbor and say they had to kill it. I know some of us may have seen The Passion of the Christ, just Hollywood. He was unrecognizable. His back, he looked like hamburger beef, ground beef, flesh torn up. Did you hear what that? You hear what I'm saying? This man stood up and died for us, and we can't give him a life. But I want you to understand, touch your neighbor, said Jesus was God's tithe. And every time somebody gets saved, God is getting a return on his investment in the earth realm. The number of blows given to Jesus, listen, we say 40, but it's not really recorded. However, the number of blows in Jewish law was 39, one less than 40, called for in the Torah to prevent a counting error. During the scourging, the skin was ripped from back, exposing a bloody mass of tissue and bone. Extreme blood loss occurred, often causing death or at least unconsciousness. In addition to the flogging, Jesus faced severe beating and torment by the Roman soldiers, including the plucking of his beard and the piercing of his scalp with the crown of thorns. So they didn't just set it on there real pretty. They crushed his head with the thorns. Anybody ever been stuck by in the country? I grew up in Hutchins, and it's a little country. We had them thing called sticker bugs. Anybody ever had some? Anybody ever got caught up in? And you had to be real gentle about getting them sticker bugs, because them things will stick you. Anybody ever got caught up in thorn bushes? Anybody ever got scratches from thorn bushes? So imagine a crown of thorns that they've gotten from thorn bushes. Make a circle, and all the thorns, they smashed it in his head to make blood come out of his scalp. After the flogging, listen, imagine his back is a bloody hot mess, flesh, blood gushing out. You can see the inside. You can even see his ribs. You can even see, you can see all his spine because of I'm trying to paint the picture. So after all of that, he got to carry his own cross. And I know y'all saw that 2x4. No. This was a heavy mess. These were like logs. You no more when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. After the flogging, the victim was often forced to carry his own crossbar to the execution site. The patibulum could easily weigh 100 pounds. In the case of Jesus, the record shows that he may have carried his patibulum the distance over 2 football fields. Y'all hear that? After getting severely beaten, you walk in almost 2 football fields up a hill called Golgotha. Touch your neighbor, said just for you. I said, touch your neighbor, said just for you. Touch your neighbor, said just for you. In a weak and tormented state, it's no wonder The record establishes that Jesus needed a great deal of assistance. Once the victim arrived at the execution stake, the cross or the patibulum was put on the ground and the victim was forced to lie upon it. Spikes, listen, spikes about 7 inches long and three eighths of an inch in diameter were driven into his wrist. The spikes would hit the area of the median nerve, causing shocks of pain up the arm to the shoulders and the neck. Already standing at the crucifixion site would be the 7-foot-tall post called Stipes. In the center of the stipes was a crude seat to support for the victim. The patibulum was then lifted up onto the stipes, and the victim's body was awkwardly turned on the seat so that the feet could be nailed to the stipes. At this point, there was tremendous strain put on the wrist, arms, and shoulders, resulting in a dislocation of the shoulders and elbow joints. The position of the nailed body held the victim's rib cage in a fixed position, which made it extremely difficult to exhale and impossible to take a full breath. Having suffered from the scourging, the beatings, and the walk with the patibulum or the cross, Jesus was described as extremely weak and dehydrated. He was probably losing significant amounts of blood. As time passed, the loss of blood and lack of oxygen would cause severe cramps, spasmodic contractions, and probably unconsciousness. Ultimately, the mechanism of death in crucifixion was suffocation, because you couldn't breathe. To breathe, the victim was forced to push up on his feet. He had to lift himself up on the cross to get some air. And yet, we can't live for him. We can't serve him. I'll just have enough relationship with Jesus so I won't go to hell. He'll be Savior, but he won't be Lord. I just don't want to go to hell so I'll be saved. But I'll never advance in my relationship with Jesus Christ. As the body weakened and the pain in the feet and legs became unbearable, the victim was forced to trade breathing for pain and exhaustion. Listen, eventually the victim would succumb in this way, becoming utterly exhausted or lapsing into unconsciousness so that he could no longer lift his body off the stipes to inflate. So remember, the nails are in his feet, so imagine the pain in his trying to lift up on something that's stuck. Due to the shallow breathing, the victim's lung will begin to collapse in areas, probably causing hypoxia. Due to the loss of blood from the scourging, the victim probably formed respiratory acidosis, resulting in an increased strain on the heart, which beats faster to compensate. Fluid would also build up in the lungs under the stress of hypoxia and acidosis. The heart would eventually fail, which is when he died. Oh, but that ain't it. Touch the neighbor, say that's not it. Blood. They pierced him in the side. Blood and water gushed out. And the people finally recognize we killed an innocent man. The veil was torn in the temple. represented the old covenant that you don't have to offer up bulls and lambs and goats and turtle doves, that you can come straight into the place, but through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to tell you, Jesus is the way. The only way you can come to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. Touch your neighbor, said, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to tell y'all, because I got some people that, hallelujah, they don't believe in Jesus Christ and they don't believe in God. But let me, I tell hallelujah, but I got news for you. Hallelujah, I don't want to die and find out that there actually is a God. Touch the neighbor, said, I'll take my chances now and accept him. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Because touch the neighbor, said, I ain't got time to be gambling with my soul. Because whether you know it or not, there is life after you die on this side. And I know y'all don't like to talk about it. Hallelujah. There is an eternity. Hallelujah. And wherever you made reservations is where you're going to be in eternity when you close your eyes on this side. Touch the neighbor, said, have you made the right reservations? Is your name on the reservation books? Hallelujah. I know y'all make reservations when y'all go to out of town and make them hotel reservation, hallelujah. But have you ever showed up and your name wasn't on the reservation? How did you feel? You felt some kind of way. But I would hate for you to get up to them pearly gates. I can't hear about it. And hallelujah. And they said, hold on. What's your name? My name is Joanne. Hold on. They got that Apple device up there in heaven. You don't have no androids up in heaven. I know y'all was going to get mad right there. Come on, come on out of a fence. Come on. He cut my mic down. Hallelujah. I bind you up there on the sound system. Hallelujah. Cut this mic up in Jesus. I would hate. And let me tell you, you are not saved by your good works. Because half these folks, when they come to funerals, they preach y'all in heaven, but your fruit did not show that you were a saint. And I'm sorry, if you belong to this church and you were a hellion, I'm going to say, I say, Lord, they gave me a bunch of hell. Because I'm not going to lie and put you in heaven when I know you didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And let me tell y'all something. Y'all stop saying that God picked a flower. You're not a flower. And you're not going to be flying around in heaven singing that song, I want two wings. No, 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 no. A fries and a pepper. I mean, but his blood. Everybody say the blood. Everybody say the blood. So when you accept Jesus Christ, you also accept his blood for atonement for your life. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Hebrews 9 and 22 said, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness or remission of sin. Touch your neighbor and say, I thank God for the blood of Jesus. And I want you to understand that the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, his death penalty, hallelujah, his blood caused me to be, hallelujah, exempt from death to life. Spiritually. And the only way you don't take life is if you stay in death spiritually and don't accept Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross into your heart and make him Lord and Savior. I'm sorry. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus makes you clean. The blood of Jesus justifies you. What do you mean justified? Just as if I never did anything. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? We sung a song that we're going to sing it today. What can wash away my sins? What? Nothing. What can make me whole again? And I said this a few weeks ago, and I got to say it again because I got some new people in here, and I like to tell it. Do you remember, we're talking about blood, in the book of Exodus, Moses told the people, he said, I want you to take some blood. Did they have to beg for the blood because they already? already had the blood in their hands. Is that right? Did they have to plead for the blood? Because why? They already. Come on here, what? They already had the blood in their hands, putting it on the doorpost, right? They didn't have to beg or plead for something they already had in their hands. Come on, talk back to me. Come on, read your Bible. They had the blood already available to them, right? Touch your neighbor, said, you don't have to plead. You apply the blood because you already got the blood if you're in Jesus Christ. I know I messed y'all up. I know. I don't have to beg for blood. I apply it because I already got it. Come on, let that marinate. Just hold it right there. Let that marinate for a minute, just about 2 seconds.
Thank you for joining our podcast today. If you would like more information about our ministry, or if you would like to sow a seed, visit us at www.twfcdallas.org.